Okay, good morning, and great to be in the Lord's house, amen. Just share the things of God and come together the way we do. Again, we're into our fourth week, is it today? Fourth week of one month to live series, and I just trust that everyone's reeling, get the heart and the spirit of that, of what it's all about. And to really have that urgency in our life, even today is the accepted time, you know, to do these things. And again, just encourage you, read your book. If you get behind, don't be discouraged. Keep reading. Just because the month passes, just don't put the book away and forget all about it. Just catch up, read it, and get that into your hearts and spirits. I'm sure for those who are going to home groups and that, you're enjoying those. I'm sure some good feedback from that, and people are really enjoying that series today at the moment. But today we're coming into this fourth day, and what it's all about today is it's about to learn humbly. To show humility and to display humility in every area of our life. And it's something that sometimes we shy away from doing because of our ego, our pride or whatever, and we just don't learn to be humble. And when we don't show humility, when we're not being humble, we can also be very hurtful. And so it's really something that we need to have in our heart and spirits. You know, that we're going to be a humble people. Come before God in the right way. Come before each other in the right way, and to address and exalt one another in every way. So today, principle three is to learn humbly. And as we know, we've been talking about this a lot. We've been hearing about it a lot, you know, about this 1 month to live. And I think it's twice... during my time in ministry, anyway, I've had two people come before me and say, John, I've only got a few months to live. And it really sort of shakes your foundation a little bit. And when someone says that to you, because as a minister, we're supposed to have all the answers, aren't we? And when someone says, I'm going to die, you know, you really think, oh, what am I going to say? But then you get yourself together and we just draw on, you know, the thoughts of God, the things of God. Yea, you know, that my spirit is with you and I'll lift you up, I'll give you the words to say. And as you let that settle into your heart and spirit, you know, God will fill your mouth with words to say and speak encouragingly to people who are in that situation that they're facing an immediate departure from life. So, as we know and see, people who face the end of their lives, they have a remarkable humility. You know, they know, and they can be so. Just don't know the right word, but you know, it becomes a real reality. I know with my cousin when he told me, and you know, he was speaking about, and he had such a peace and a reassurance about this life, and it just struck me in such an amazing way of how he could be so positive, so how he could really speak out about, you know, this life that he was going to depart from. But resurgence comes upon someone, I feel, in that situation. And they just seem to have that inner strength that comes upon them. And I feel, you know, once a person gets that, and they're really going to draw on the resources, they're going to look for, you know, strength from above. And that's where that strength comes from. As we see... people in that situation, they have that remarkable humility. They depend on others. They learn to depend more on others as their situation weakens, as they become weaker and frail as days get shorter, you know. And so, you know, they come to that place where they are no longer self-sufficient or proud, and that's where the humility comes in. Because, you know, they have to depend on others to help them, to do things for them, because they can no longer fend them themselves in the situation that they're in. But yet in their weakness, you know, the people like that, they discover an amazing liberating truth. And we see that, and this morning we're just going to look at a verse of scripture in Corinthians 12:9. There, where the Apostle Paul, was struggling with a few issues that were before him. And in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9, but I'm going to read from verse 7 there, because as we know, the Apostle Paul was a mighty man of God, but Paul was a man, and he had... Like us all, he struggled with certain things in life, and he had this affliction or whatever it was, no one really knows. Many people have surmised he said that this was that, but we don't really know. It doesn't say that. But here, Paul in verse 7 he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these passingly great revelation, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And he says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. Now that's an encouraging verse there, for all of us to take on that what it needs, where God says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. And so Paul was able to go on and say, so I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. And when we release those things the only time that Christ can... be exalted, and his strength can work through us in such a wonderful way. But so we see there that three times the apostle pleaded with God to take this affliction away or whatever it was. But God says, no, my grace is all you need, and my power works best in you. And so this morning I asked, do you ever feel powerless in life? And I'm sure many times we've all experienced at some stage in our life that, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? I feel so weak. I'm, you know, just can't overcome it. And, you know, we feel like that. Maybe you have a habit or just feel powerless to break it, or a problem in a relationship and you've tried everything to overcome it and it's getting worse and you feel powerless to change it. Or maybe it be something at work and it's just draining all your energy and your creativity and you just feel powerless to solve it. Or even your workload, it's overwhelming you. You might be feeling burnt out and your emotional batteries are flat and you're feeling a loss of power in controlling these situations. And as I just said, we all feel powerless at times. How am I going to get over this? How can I overcome it? But do we see here, you see this motorcycle here this morning, and I suppose you're wondering what it's about. But this is a pretty big machine for such a small person there like a Christian. But he's a man of God, and he's got all the confidence to get on this machine and ride it, to control it. My legs wouldn't even get across there, Christian, and reach the ground. It would be too heavy for me to... thing, and used to the farm bike, but that's a powerful machine, 600 cc's or something, is it? That's nearly a tractor engine, and it really really, really powerful there thing. But so there we just see that. But if we never kick-started that engine, but it's got an electric start, hasn't it? Electric start. If you never switched on that ignition to fire that machine up or use that engine's power, just imagine just pushing that bike around all the streets. I've got this beautiful bike, and I'm pushing it around the streets, around the corners, up the hills, and everywhere. It would be crazy, wouldn't it? It'd be such a stupid thing to do when you've got this powerful machine and you're not using it, you're just pushing it around. But you know, that's the way a lot of people face life. A lot of people face life that we have all this power that's available to us. We have God's amazing strength and power to help us in our life, to help us in our marriages, to help us in our finances, to help us with our families and in our workplace. We have all this power that's available to us, but much of the time we live our life in our own strength, don't we? We don't call upon the Almighty One who's all-powerful, almighty, all-giving, all-resourceful. But, you know, we just we try to climb through the hills of life and face problems powerless to do anything about it, because we just won't tap into the resource of life, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? And we just don't do that. And we're going to have a video clip, and we're just going to have a look what Kerry and Chris are up to today.
Everything just seemed perfect. I remember praying a stupid prayer. This is a stupid prayer. God, why am I so blessed? Never had any problems. Never had any problems. And I just couldn't understand it. And I'd even pray this stupid prayer. God, let something happen to me so I can relate to others. Because I didn't feel like I was a good ear to people and a good counsel to people that were hurting.
I mean, he said he didn't have any problems since the time we met. So I'm like, you're just lucky, you know? I mean, I said, let me just tell you about a few problems in life.
Hold on, what were the two words I said were never in my vocabulary?
Stress and what else?
Pressure.
Pressure. I'm like, are you nuts? I mean, everybody has stress. Everybody has stress. I think you're just like maybe in the land of denial. But Stan, well, really, we kind of had a struggle. I was having problems sleeping at night because of your snoring.
What? And I never heard
And
any.
Sometimes you would, like, really totally stop breathing. You know, have you heard people that, you know, you're like, are you still breathing? You know, so, and we, anyway, he got tested, found out he had sleep apnea. And so, goes to the doctor, and he says, well, in this case, you know, it's your tonsils. Your tonsils are really large. Let's take them out, and I think this is really going to help the problem. And so...
It did.
Yeah, it
but
did.
But it brought on an unexpected problem. And I'll never forget, Linda was on the steps, and I was on the phone in our kitchen, and the doctor said, you have cancer.
Linda, what did you think?
It's very hard. Very hard to hear that news. You know, as a mother with small children, they were like 3, I think. They were very young. You think, oh my gosh, do we have this horrible journey, which I know many people have been through, of treatment, of being sick. Sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. And it's the unknown, and it's the not knowing. And it's going through that, and then what happens? Does it not work? And what do you do?
I started really reevaluating everything, as people, I guess, do when something this traumatic hits them. Started rethinking everything in my life, you know, what, okay, if I have this, what do I need to be doing differently? How do I need to act? How do I need to love? How do I need to respond? I think I learned so much. We've learned so much through this that I, at one point, said, you know, it's like a gift, because it forces you into a room that you've never been before, where you really got to look at some pictures on the wall and make some important priority decisions. Mm-hmm. Some of the pictures on the wall would be my precious wife. How much I love her, and how much how I want to just be a better husband for her, and how I failed her many times, but want to be the best for her, and how fortunate I am to have her, and how fortunate I am to have these wonderful kids that are just a miracle.
I guess after all this time and what we've been through, I guess I appreciate so much. It's been some hard life lessons that, of course, come into our marriage as well. All this, you know, can cause a big strain in there, and meshing that out, and you have really reprioritized from where we were. You know, it used to be you wanted to be the biggest and the best in the country at your job, at your career. Now, I believe that you want to be the best husband and father to these children. I just believe that with all my heart. And I see it. I see it daily. And we don't always do things perfectly, and we don't do them perfectly in our marriage. But I definitely see an adjustment there. And the cancer is there, and we have to live with that. And we can try to live in denial that it doesn't exist, but then maybe we are robbing ourselves of a gift, because it'll help us hold our priorities in the right order.
Good, again, we just see how important life can be and how things can change so dramatically, you know, when something like that comes upon a person, and you just have to stand up and face that thing that's in front of you, that mountain, that giant that you've got to overcome, that mountain that you have to climb to overcome that. But again, coming back to what I was speaking about, in life, we all have real power that's available to us. Amen? We have God's power that's available to each of us and every day. But so much of the time, as I said a moment ago, we live life in and out of and through our own strength, don't we? And not just depending on God. And as I said, it would be like pushing that bike around the streets instead of riding it, when all we have to do is flick on the engine, jump on, and away you go. But we do things the hard way. Why is it so? Like Julia Summer, why is it so? Why do we struggle in life instead of just straight away saying, hey God, I need your help. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. But as we know, in life, there are a lot of sharp curves, aren't there? Well, we all experience that. There's deep ruts and grooves, and we can get stuck in the track of life. And you know that there's always the body, the normal pains and aches and bumps and bruises. But we get all those things in the problems of life. There's problems always with us. They come. But we also experience success in life, don't we? Success. But as always, with success, there is often failure. And then there are the crashes, you know, where we have those falls, times when things go wrong, those failures in life. And we all fail at times in life, don't we? We all fail. We've all experienced failure at some time and felt, I've really messed it up this time. Boy, have I done that. I've done it wrong. But as I said, you know, we're going to fail at times. It's a part of life, isn't it? Because we're flesh and blood. Because we're flesh, you know, we become weak and we succumb lots of things. But as we know, everyone who has ever succeeded has failed many times before. And we can't always blame others for our failures. But as we know, some of the greatest success stories have come out of failed ventures and or ideas, haven't they? And just look at Henry Ford. How many times did he go bankrupt? Five times, didn't he? Five times, but he founded the great Ford Empire and of his time. Oprah Winfrey, what's her name, Oprah? Oprah Winfrey, she got sacked just before she took on this job. She got sacked from being a television reporter. Now she owns a station or whatever, you know. So you see how things can be turned around. But so today I think it's... appropriate, you know, I ask, you know, how do we get up after fall? As I said, we fail and fall, but how do we get up and start all over again? And this is where that might be a humbling experience, but we do whatever it takes, don't we? Mostly people do it, they get up and start all over again because they want to overcome. They want to be an overcomer. And not allowing their circumstances to overwhelm them. We look at circumstances and problems and we get on with life as we're encouraged to do. We always speak about that, about this rising up, this growing up, this coming to the age of maturity and to do all these things. But most of all, out of all these things, it's about learning from our mistakes. And that's the point one, point one, that we have to learn from our mistakes, that we don't keep on repeating these things, making the same old mistake over and over again. We see so much of that in the Old Testament, where the Israelites just continue to offend and re-offend and offend and re-offend and all that. And so... We in life, we don't want to be people like that. But as we move on in God's Word, some tremendous examples, as we know, about mighty men of God in the Bible. But this morning we're going to have a look at about how the Apostle Peter experienced what it was like to fail. Peter failed, but yet God gave him the power to begin again, the power to begin again. And he became a great champion for Christ. Simon Peter, he teaches through his own example how to learn humbly. He teaches us three important lessons to learn humbly. And if you and I apply them to our lives, we can have the power to begin again. See, what we have here with Peter, we see here with Peter, what did he do? Three times he denied Jesus. Amen? I can't say amen in that situation, but what I mean, I'm trying to make an exclamation point that Peter, he denied Jesus three times. He lost his nerve. He lost his cool. And he became afraid, didn't he? And we even see that he doesn't want anyone to even know that he knows Jesus. He shied away. He said, I don't know the man. Don't know the man. But as we see, in Peter's life, Peter experienced this crash. He hit the brick wall. And we see here in Luke 22, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows, today you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. He went outside and wept bitterly. Church, that's a picture of deep regret of how Peter failed, and he felt so miserable about it, so miserable. But what we see, Jesus looked into Peter's heart and he saw the regret, he saw the guilt, he saw the shame. And today, sadly, some people are there. Maybe someone here this morning is in that situation. Maybe in that situation. You see the guilt, the regret, and the shame. But in the midst of all this, Jesus does say something to you. He says to you today, because of the power of the cross, because of the power of the cross, failure is never final. And it's never fatal. I'll say that again. Failure is never final. And it's never fatal. It's never fatal. Why do I say that? I say it because we have a God of a second chance. Amen? God's always ready and willing to forgive us. And he wants you to take hold of that power and to begin again. And that's what he done for Peter. That's what God done for Peter. Christ looked at him and said, Peter, I want you. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. And so there, he done that for Peter, and he gave him the power to begin all over again. But to begin again, I have to learn humbly from my losses. I have to take on something, and I have to let go. The second point is that we're looking this morning that, you know, I have to take responsibility for my failures, for my failures. As the scripture says there from Proverbs 28:13, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, then he gets another chance. A God of a second chance. A God who is willing to forgive and to forget about our mistakes and is willing and wants us to get on with life. We never want to admit that we're wrong. We hate being wrong, don't we? Never wrong. I'm always right. But, you know, that's where this humility, that's just about being humble, comes in. It's about what we're looking at today, how we can humbly learn from all these things. Don't be afraid. If we do something wrong, there's nothing wrong with doing something wrong in the sense. If I spill a cup of coffee on the floor and I look at it and walk away, it's wrong. It's wrong. Remember that. If you spill a cup of coffee, go and get a cloth and wipe it up. But, you know, we can all make mistakes. But if we try to hide that mistake or cover that mistake up, that's where the sin, that's where it's all wrong. So I have to take responsibility for my failure, to learn humbly. I need to be humbly, and I've got to do that, take responsibility for my failures. I have to own them. I can't keep on blaming someone else or blame up. When I admit my mess-ups, I get another chance. I get another chance. When I take responsibility for my failures, I have to own them. They're mine. They're not someone else's mistakes. They're mine. So I have to be responsible. I have to admit for that. Then with God gives us a chance that as we confess, he gives us that chance and we're able to overcome. You know, if I'm going to learn from my losses, I have to look into the mirror. I have to look at myself and take a good look at me and say, you are responsible. You're the one who mucked up. You're the one who has to fix it. You know, we live in a society, don't we, where society plays the blame game. It's always someone else's fault. We've heard that many times before. It's not my fault. Not my fault. Someone else's, you know. I did this because they did that to me. It's their fault. We blame everybody. We blame our husband, our wife, our children, all our family members. We blame the company. We blame the teachers at school. We blame the leaders. But we blame everybody, the dog, the cat, everything else, you know, that there. But everyone that should be. But it comes back to me. We're the ones that mucked up. It's our fault. And we have to be responsible for that. But so we have to go and look into that mirror and take responsibilities for our actions, about admitting to my sins so that I can be forgiven. How can I be forgiven? How can I feel forgiven if we're not going to say, God, I'm sorry, I mucked up bad. Lord, please forgive me. Whoever it was, please forgive me. I shouldn't have done that to you. We need to show humility and be a humble in all those sorts of things and admit my failures so that I can learn from my mistakes. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about learning when we're wrong, about coming good. But as we see with Peter, after his crash, you know, it wiped out all his pride. In fact, Peter felt like God could never use him again. That's the way he felt. He felt, I've done it. God will never want me again. But, and like Peter, you know, but God can use us. He can fill us with all his strength and power. And, you know, we can get going and move on a lot. So to learn humbly, I have to let go of my guilt, don't I? We have to let go of that guilt. And today, some of you feel like you've fallen. Today, some of you feel like you're on so far off the track, so far off God's track that you can never get back on again. Never get back on again. You feel like you've blown it completely and you're totally out of God's will for your life, and you feel like the race is over for you. I want you to know the race is not over for you. And most of all, not me, but God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that the race is not over for you. God still wants you. He still wants to use you. He still wants you to be a part of his kingdom. And maybe you feel you've gone so far off the track that you can never get back on. No, God says, I still have a race for you to run. And because we have a God of a second chance, God is willing to forgive us and to get us back on track and to go and continue to walk in his ways. And so what we've seen concerning people, Peter, and as we know that after Christ rose from the dead, as we see there, the resurrection day, the angel in the tomb, the angel, we see in Mark 16, verse 7, a wonderful verse of scripture. It says, but go tell his disciples, and who? Peter, the man who failed, the man who thought it was all over, the man who Peter thought God was finished with, that Jesus wouldn't want him again as a part of his team. But here we see the angel again speaking to Mary and them. It said, go and tell his disciples, tell Peter too. And the angel said, he's alive, he's not here, and you need to go and tell his disciples. And he's just given that reminder, and like he say there, and he says, and don't forget to tell Peter. Don't forget to tell Peter. It was a real reassuring thing there, that how God spoke through the angel there, and to just to remind people that he's still included. He's still one of the disciples. And as it says there, he made the point, emphasised that point there. Don't forget to tell Peter. Don't forget to tell Peter. But Jesus knew that Peter was totally broken as we know. And Peter felt like God could never use him again. He felt like he'd completely blown it, and his life was over, that the race was over for him. And but Christ wanted him to know and said, Peter, I still have a race for you to run. I know how you're feeling. You're still included. I have a plan for your life. I still have a plan for life, for your life. And I'm going to give you the power to begin again and to become a great champion for me. And today, God says to you, God says to us all, I want to give you the power to begin again. If you're feeling that way today, if you've blown it in life, and that you're feeling that God's got no place for you, that nowhere that God's going to use you, well, you're wrong. God is a God of a second chance, and he's saying to you, I want to give you the power to begin again. I have a great plan for you, a great race for you to run. I want you to become a champion in life. But to do that, we have to let something go. I have to let go of my guilt. We have to let go of the guilt. And that's my responsibility. It's our responsibility. Because God forgives me through the power of the cross. Amen. But God will blind you to God's vision. Will blind you to God's vision and God's plan for your future. If you let that come in the way. Some of you feel like you have no future because of the guilt in your past. You're just stuck in the past and you can't move beyond that point. And that's what we have to do with our guilt. You see, our vision becomes muddy and clouded. Our vision becomes clouded because of our guilt and regret from our past mistakes. You see, some of you still may be feeling guilty over sin that has already confessed. Pastor Patricia spoke about that this morning. It is already done. God has forgiven you. He has forgotten that. He's wiped his slate clean. He has forgiven you. And if it's just that you never decided to tear away the guilt and let it go. It's like with this bike, the helmet and that. And I think it's a really great example of all this protection a motorbike rider wears, a helmet. What does God give us? A helmet of protection. Protection. He gives us the garments of praise and all that sort of thing. But here, for the rider, it's all protection, and that's what God gives to us. But what happens when a truck goes past and sprays all the mud over your visor? What do? Christian, you're wiping fiercely or breathing heavy to the fog it or something. But that's what happens, I'm sure, in this. It becomes cloudy and you can't see ahead and you've got to take that immediate action and do something so you can see what's going on. And that's what we have to do in life. We have to see the clear picture ahead. We have to get rid of this muddied vision and waters or whatever that's holding us up. But most of all, as it says in Ephesians, about taking on the whole armour of God, this whole protection of the things that God's given us, the strength, his power, all these things that so that we can walk in the power of God, so that we can operate in the power of God, so that we can do all these things in the power of God. And there, but so God says all that, but you know, it's about being responsible, letting that fear and guilt be rid of in our life. And we have to stop looking at the past. The past is over. The past is over. Start looking at your future. Yesterday I done something wrong. Today I can correct that. Today I can do something about not making that mistake today, tomorrow. Because yesterday I cannot do anything about, can we? It's gone, it's past. And God wants us to keep looking at each day, a day ahead, a time, a week, or whatever it takes in our lives to get our things right. Because God says you've got a bright future, amen? Your future is bright as the promises of God. But we've got to let go of our guilt and tear it off, take it away. There's still blank cards in your life, written to be written in your life. There's a lot of little empty spaces that God wants to fill, all these little boxes or spaces in your life, and God wants to say, yeah. He wants to tick all those little places and fill in those spaces. Yeah, he done that well. Yeah, that was great. He was a great encouragement there. He helped this person. They done that, this, and God wants to tick all those off and fill all those little blank spaces up in our life. But as we know, your future is bright as the promises of God. Why? Because of the power of the cross. Because of the power of the cross. Christ done it all, didn't he? Amen? He done it. He took away our sins, our mistakes and our failures. And when I own up to my mistakes and failures, what does the Lord do? He just signs his name across that card. He takes my place and he writes his name in blood and completely forgive us. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Powerful. He says, I want you to look to the future. The past is past. It's time to look at the future, and your future is as bright as my promises. That's pretty shiny. Pretty shiny. So the first thing I have to do is learn humbly from my losses. And the second thing I have to do is to surrender to God's what? His strength. Amen? Surrender to God's strength. I have to surrender to God's strength. I have to learn humbly. I need God's power. Why? Because I can't change in my own strength. We are weak and useless in that sense. But we have to depend on the mighty power of God to raise us up and look to get us into that place and to work and operate in the strength of God and not on our own. In Luke 9, verse 23, and it says there, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. It's a fight, it's a battle every day that we have to overcome, isn't it? It's a daily thing and say, Lord, oh, you give me another day. I want you to help me get through this day because I need your strength, Lord. I need your strength every day to accomplish the things, to do the things that you want me to do. But Jesus said to them all, you know, if anyone would come after me, we have to deny ourselves and to take up that cross and to follow him. And if that's anyone here today, if you want to follow, heed that call of come follow me. Well, there's a little. We've got to put aside a few things. There's a few bit of baggage we're carrying. There are issues that we have to put aside, and we just have to deny them, put them in the background, put them in the path, look ahead, walk in this invitation of Jesus there when he said, "Come, follow me," and we have to be and do that. But But today, as we know, there's many, many self-help books and all that type of thing out there. But all these self-help books, all that they tell you, you know, if you want to find purpose in life, all you need to do is look within. Look within and find your purpose. See the reason why you're here. They tell you they need to satisfy yourself, pamper yourself, splurge on yourself, all this type of thing, to follow your own desires, to meet your own needs, all that type of thing. But there's no way you will find God's purpose or your purpose by looking within. We have to look above, don't we, and to claim the power and the promises of God. We're not to look in because we're not going to find anything in there, because our emotions will only tell us all these things, and we want to hear God's spirit, not our thoughts. Not don't look in and just look to God, the God who created you. Amen. He knows why he placed you on this work, and as Jesus said, I must deny myself and find fulfillment. And if we're to find fulfillment in life, well, we have to deny quite a few things. I have to deny myself and follow God's plan and God's path and God's ways and God's purpose for my life. It's just the opposite, isn't it, to what the world says. It's not satisfying me. It's about denying me. We have to deny ourselves. Peter denied Christ, and what happened? He crashed. He crashed. He failed. But when he learned to deny himself, he became a great champion. He became a mighty man for God. And so what does it mean in that verse about taking up your cross daily? It means I have to die to my selfishness and to try and to my living my life in my own strength. But it's about surrendering to his power and to his strength every day. Every day in my life, I have to come to this place where I realize, God, I can't do it on my own. I need your strength, Lord. I need your strength. He wants us to take up our cross and to die to ourselves. He wants me every day to come to the cross. And I have to come to the cross with my plans, what I want to do in life, all my goals, and with all my gifts and talents and all that things. And I have to lay them at the feet of the cross and say, God, they're my plans, are your plans, Lord. You do it for me, Lord. I want you to work it out. I want you to show me, Lord, what you want from life, because I know that you know what's best for me. So, Lord, I do that. And we're going to have a look at another video, the one about the man with leukemia, that one. You got that there? No. Not there, okay. But there was another one, but never mind. It's just another one of those situations where this person is faced with leukemia, another person facing the end of life, and the challenges and the things again that how they have to just assess things in life, what's important. And that's so important for us, you know. What is important in life today? If I only had 30 days to live, what would I be doing to make a difference in my life? What would I be doing to make a difference in someone else's life? And that's what we need to be doing. So that every day we just have to offer ourselves afresh to God and say, God, I give you my time, it's yours. It's your time, Lord. I want to spend my time the way that you want me to do, Lord, not the way I want to do. I have to nail my time to the cross and let God have his way. And if there are any interruptions into that time, into that day, and we just need to say, Lord, I know they're from you. Everything I have is yours. You've given it to me, and I nail it at the cross. I lay it at your feet, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do with my time, my talents, my finances, all those sorts of things, to be able to say and see that what it is, basically what it comes down to it's all about trusting God, isn't it? Trusting God in every situation, for everything that we have in life, for God to take my whole life, and take it right to the cross and deny all my selfish ambitions and plans. And as we know, we've seen Peter, he had big plans, he had big dreams, but his dream had to die, didn't it? It had to die so God could resurrect it. And we know Peter, he was saying, who's the greatest, and all these types of things, discussing with the disciples, and he's getting himself on a little bit of a pedestal there, but God brought him back down to his feet. But also God lifted him up. God lifted him up. It was God's dream which was best for him, and God knows what is best for us. Amen? So if I learn from my losses and surrender to God's strength, we do that. But in amongst all these things, in amongst all these things. The problem is that God calls us. He says, come follow me. I want you to be in my kingdom. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And that mostly happens as we come to things. But, you know, we have to pursue God's plans and there as we come to him. And but as I just said, after the call comes a wall. We hit a wall, don't we, many times. We're on top of every situation. Often we see so many people come to know Jesus and a fortnight or a month or later, you know, they're down the dumps because the enemy's come in. You know, the enemy's come in and said, that's not right, you're silly, this and that. And they put fears and doubts in their mind. That's the wall people hit. But then again, it's about, again, this resurgent of God's Spirit just rising up within us. And so we rise up and we overcome there. So three things I just want to briefly speak about: the call, the wall, and the fall. But these things happen. You might say, God, I know you've called me to be a great husband, but right now, God, I don't feel like loving. I don't feel like being a great husband. Or you might say, God, I know you've called me to be a great dad, but today I don't feel like being a great dad. I feel like being selfish today. I'm going to look after me for a change and not you. Or you might say, God, you called me to be a great leader or a great pastor, but today I don't have the energy. I feel burnt out. I feel washed out. I don't feel like being like that today, God. But we know, or say, you might say, God, you've called me to greatness. But you would say, God, I can't do it. I'm powerless. I've hit the wall, Lord. I haven't got the strength. I can't go on. But God says, you can, because he's a God of a second chance. Amen. And a believer's walk, it's all about breaking through, isn't it? Seeing the walls come down. Barriers that we often put in front of ourselves. Then comes, and also there's a great song we used to sing it a lot in the days gone by, but we're going to sing it at the end of the service this morning. Breakthrough, it's about seeing the walls come down, seeing those giants fall, get pushed out and squashed. But a believer's walk, it's all about breaking through, isn't it? Seeing the walls come down. But the third, it then comes the fall. I'll move on anyway because of time. But I spoke about the call, but then we hit the wall. But then after we've gone through that, we've got to overcome. But often there comes a fall. We know that things can be going so well. You can be walking down the backyard and fall over. You can trip and fall or do any sorts of things. But again, the Lord is there ready to pick us up. But if we do fall, you know what the good news is? The good news about a fall is you have an option. You can either fall on your face or fall on your knees. Amen? You've got those two choices. You can, if you do fall on your face, you can either get up or you can get on your knees. And when you get on our knees, that's when God's strength enters in and fills us with his power so we can do great things and God gets the credit and the glory. Amen? And moving on to the next portion of Scripture from Psalm 20, verse 7, a powerful verse. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Amen? That's the key point of that verse, a very profound statement. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. And that's the encouragement this morning, isn't it? That we rise up and stand firm. Because if you're proud, you're going to fall on your face. But when you get on your knees and trust God for his power, he'll raise you up for greatness. Why? Because he has a great plan for your life. And this morning we heard the song from the music team there. It's about we just about keep chasing the wrong things and we come up empty. We want to come up full, don't we? We don't want to have that fall and come up empty and walk around lethargic and useless. We want to be moving on and rejoicing because God's done a great thing. He's lifted me up. And as I said, to be about getting on our knees, coming before God and say, God, I need your power. I can't do this without you, Lord. It's about how I need your strength, showing humility and being humble. And maybe like Peter, you've heard that call, follow me. And I issue that invitation today that if anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, the mighty invitation today is come follow me. And you'll have such a tremendous life in the life in Jesus Christ, how you will become self-sufficient and learn to depend on Lord God Almighty. But like Peter, we can be used by God. If you've hit the wall with your pride and self-sufficiency, just as Peter fell on his face, but then Christ, in his restoring grace, he lifted Peter to his knees to find real power in him. And what God has called you to do, only to do that, what God has called you to do, that only he can accomplish. The challenge for us is to get on our knees, to learn humbly, and to get out of our guilt, and to receive his forgiveness, so that we can move forward. And to finish up, God has an amazing plan for our lives. God has an amazing plan for your life. Amen? And God wants to use it. So again, the challenge is a part of our 1 month to live series. It's about surrendering to God's strength, about pursuing God's path, and you'll experience a wonderful time in the things of God. What is it? What is God calling you to do? And again, as we ask at the conclusion of all these 1 month to live series, if you only had 30 days to live, what would you do? What would you do? And as we encourage you, and it says, just do it. Just do it. Don't question. So Lord, we just again bless your mighty name. We thank you, Father God, that Lord, through your word, through all your plans and purposes, Lord, the challenges, the things that you would have us do in life, Lord, to be overcome, to stand in your strength and in your power, Father. Lord, that we can accomplish many things, Lord. Lord, and in the times of failure, just to have the faith and the hope to believe, Lord, that you are there in the midst of all these things. And Lord, you are just willing and waiting for us to say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. God wants to hear that from us. And God will readily and willingly forgive all our hurts and fears and failures. God wants to just, as I said in the message, that how Jesus will just write his name across there and say, it is done. It is accomplished. I done it on the cross for you. Amen. Amen.